Hi, everyone. Welcome to Flock Talk. I'm Aaron Morgan.
And I'm Jordan Sloggett.
And we work for the farmer members of the Ontario Sheep Farmers Organization.
This week, we are discussing sheep-related research with Mike McMorris, the CEO of the Livestock Research Innovation Corporation.
Welcome, Mike. Thanks for joining us on Flock Talk.
Glad to be here.
And congratulations on your retirement. How are you feeling about the transition?
Well, it's a bit of a joke. I always ask people, what's your number? Scale of 1 to 10. 1 is terrible and 10 is great. So on that scale, I'm feeling a 10 on my retirement. But I must say, for those who haven't been through retirement, which is most, it's usually a once in a lifetime event. That's not something to be underestimated. It makes you very reflective.
Awesome.
So Mike, I'm sure you have had some career highlights that you could share with us. Can you kind of tell us about your career and what you've been able to see and do?
Sure. I'll start off with a little story. My father-in-law told me probably 35 years ago that you should move every 5 years. You're burnt out of energy and the organization needs new blood. And I thought, no, that's wrong. And I found myself actually living that. So I have moved around in my career, 13 years with the Ministry of Agriculture and Food, about 5 years with Beef Farmers of Ontario, a bit less than 5 years at AgriCorps, about 11 years at AgSites, and about 5 years at ELRIC. As far as highlights, a couple of things jumped to mind. One was winning an Amethyst Award in 1998. That's an award in the public service, and my staff nominated me, although I really hated the title they put on it. It was doing extraordinary things with ordinary people. I thought, that's wrong. They're the extraordinary people. All I did was help them and then get the heck out of their way and let them do the good work that they could do. When I was with Beef Farmers of Ontario, I met the Queen of England.
Oh, cool.
I was very much a bystander. It was the president of Beef Farmers that she was talking to, and it was extremely protocol-based, and I confess all I could think was, wow, you're short. not appropriate with the Queen of England, but that's what I was thinking. I got to do a lot of travel, China, Vietnam, Germany, Brazil, Ukraine and Russia, and when I thought about those two, I thought, well, isn't that sad? When I visited, they weren't at war, and here they are battling it out. But the highlight, and I've got to go to another story. In 1982, I was a summer student at the Illawarra Beef Research Station, and I was between my third and fourth year of animal science. At lunch one day, the assistant manager said, you know, if I was doing it all again, I wouldn't take animal science. He had preceded me by about 7 years doing animal science. I thought he was joking. He said, no, if I did it all over again, I'd take psychology. I, again, thought he was joking. And he said, no, you get out in the world and you work and you do some things and you realize everything is about people. So the highlight of my career was just amazing people I've had the opportunity to work with.
Yep. I can echo that sentiment. There are amazing people in our industry. So for the last few years, as you mentioned, you've been the CEO of ELRIC. Can you tell us a little bit about what that organization does?
Well, our strategic plan says we drive innovation in Ontario's livestock sector, which is technically correct, but what the heck does that mean? I think it's really important to think of innovation as a system. It's not one particular thing. It's research priorities, funding, good project management, commercialization, GRIP, or getting research into practice. And I like to think that ELRIC is, I think in many respects, ELRIC is the missing middle. When you think of a Venn diagram with industry in one circle, academia in another, and government in another, those have evolved to become utterly different worlds. They have different cultures, different languages, and there are subworlds within the livestock sector. Every organization is unique, and the differences are really vast. So ELRIC plays, I think, a really important role in the middle, not just connecting, but translating and really working hard to foster relationships across those different worlds. Another thing we very deliberately do is look forward. When I was Beef Farmers of Ontario General Manager, it was an interesting time that included BSE. And so I speak from experience. Livestock organizations at the best of times probably can focus 18 months out, but they usually have an urgent issue. The beef industry right now has a closed packing plant. Yeah, the swine sector for about 2 years has been doing a lot of planning for African swine fever. The poultry industry is dealing with avian influenza. Now the dairy industry not yet in Canada, but avian influenza, there's always something that's pulling down their view of the horizon. So Elric very deliberately looks 5 to 10 years out on their behalf.
So Mike, understanding that Elric focuses on developing relationships within the research community, can you speak to some of the work that you've been doing over the past few years on behalf of livestock groups to connect researchers with the sector at large?
Yeah, one of the things that we do on an annual basis is pull together livestock sector research priorities. So each sector, sheep included, has their own research priorities. But from the Ministry of Agriculture's standpoint, they want to, well, what are the livestock research priorities? So we pull those together, try to do appropriate weightings. And in that process, we're really trying to get researchers and industry engaged. Industry clearly has the best view of what they need, but often researchers have a better view of what's possible. And that's not, you can't do this, but rather, did you know that we're working on this neat and cool thing that might apply to what your need is? Another really neat example is a program we started 4 years ago, and it's our early career mentorship program. So we recognize that if you can engage and interest an early career faculty member, you might be able to hook them for life. So we offered a mentorship program to the University of Guelph. And in all honesty, I thought we'd have about 3 sign up. Well, we've just finished year 4 and we've had 20. Wow. So it's been very successful. And they're awesome people who just don't really have background in agriculture. And the really intriguing thing to me is that they're amazed that farmers are so open and willing to have them stand in a field and talk to them. And the farmers are so amazed that these really bright people who work at colleges want to stand in a field and talk to them. It's just a case of bringing them together. Next year, we're expanding that mentorship opportunity to engineering faculty at the University of Waterloo. And well, I can speak some more about that later. From that, we also developed an early career research award. So people who have been through our mentorship program are eligible to apply for this award that Elric started, but it enjoys tremendous support from Grand River Ag Society, Western Fair District, Ontario Agricultural College and Ontario Veterinary College. And its focus is to very much drive cross-sector research. I found in my time at Elric that everybody talks about the need for cross-sector research, but our funding is based on a sector-specific model. And so although everybody talks about it, this is really the only pot of money that really helps that. And also it's a really good kickstart for early career faculty. More recently, we started in farming innovation tours, and sometimes old ideas that are really simple can come back and be really useful. There's no magic here. We take a busload of people and we aim for 1/3 industry, 1/3 government, 1/3 academia, very deliberately, out to a farm. We've held 2 so far, and the objectives are to get people understanding better farming. And I had one fella just incredibly excited that he could then go back and tell his coworkers what a heifer was. Sounds crazy if you're in the industry, but that was a really big deal for him. And we will be continuing that. Another example, we had a meeting with the president of the University of Guelph. And at the end, I said, hey, would you like to get on some livestock farms? And her eyes lit up. And so we have had 3 full days touring the president of the University of Guelph and the vice president of research to various livestock farms. And I can tell you, if you ever get an opportunity like that, chauffeur, because that car time is invaluable in building some great relationships. And our most recent example is engineering a better farm. So we've canvassed livestock farmers to find out what are your needs and opportunities that might have an engineering solution. And then we've taken that list and we've shopped it, if you will, to the deans of engineering at Windsor, Waterloo, and Guelph. And then that became the topic of our symposium just last week, where we had the dean of engineering at Waterloo talk about the wild, wonderful things that are happening there, and then a panel react and try and tie those things to the livestock sector.
Wow, it's all great. So, Mike, if you were in our shoes, and you know that we get challenged with stuff that has, as you said, an 18-month timeline, but we are challenged as an organization to think further out and to address, you know, some industry challenges through research, which has a much longer time horizon than 18 months. What advice would you have for the sheep industry, for other livestock organizations, and for the future of ag research in Ontario? how do we best accomplish our goals, or even begin by setting some goals?
Well, I'll jump to your last point, which is a really important one, and that is focus. Working where I have, I found it really, it's a human nature to just say, these are our goals and list 30 things. Well, okay, that might be true, but which of those are the most important? How much time are you going to put to those? How much money are you going to put to those? What's okay to drop off the list if it doesn't happen? So focus and expect results. My next point is a little broader, but absolutely applies to the question. That is, we need to stop judging and stereotyping. It happens all the time. And like a phrase like "Sidiots." I get it. It's kind of humorous, but it's stereotyping, and you're just inviting a stereotype back at yourself. And that happens across academia, government, industry, et cetera. I really think livestock organizations should understand the potential that a little group like ELRIC has and make use of it. We offer a lot to our members, and we have a variety of uptake from our members. So I would strongly encourage everybody to make use of ELRIC. And probably the overriding was, don't put your head in the sand. It frustrates me when I see groups that don't want to address change. Change is coming, and you can choose to be a part of it, or you can risk being a victim of it. Last point, well, maybe second last point, avoid toxicity. And toxicity can take two forms. One is negative, like just being negative all the time. But equally damaging is positive toxicity. And I see that in agriculture far too often, where everything's fine, everything's fine. No, there are serious issues we need to talk about. It won't be comfortable, but let's actually sit down and talk about this. In my career, I've had more than once where an external consultant would be used for something in our organization, and they would meet to kind of debrief what they found. And more than once, consultants say, boy, I haven't worked in agriculture before. You're all really nice people. And you would smile. And then they would say, no, that's not a compliment. You're too nice. You don't actually have the discussions you need to have. Toxic positivity. And the last one, which is, it's hard to do, but I think there's a lot to be gained by learning to be somewhat vulnerable. And again, that goes to having the confidence that, no, everything isn't perfect. Let's talk about how we make it better.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, I think those are some great points about, you know, focusing and how to use time effectively as an organization. In your opinion, how do we harness innovation and the community of innovators in our sector to address farm challenges?
When I was hired into this job, an off-the-cuff question by one of the panel was, what's your definition of innovation? And it's one of those, well, I know what it means, but now I have to say what I think it means. Huh. And my definition at the time was change that leads to a positive outcome. And I said it and then started questioning myself. Do I agree with that? And I thought, yeah, no, it's simple and short, and I think it gets across the point. So I think really be clear on what innovation you're talking about. I had somebody tell me recently that research is the same thing as innovation. I couldn't disagree more. Research is an element of innovation, but it's not the same thing. So one of the things that ELRIC has come up with, and we've tried it once in a priority setting exercise with one of our member organizations, is simple, A to B. So keep it simple. Capital A, number two, capital B. A is, where are you? B is, where do you want to get to? If you can accurately and agree on what those are, then you can start to have the discussion about, what do we need to do to go from A to B? It's not just innovation. It's not just research. It could be policy. It could be lobbying. It could be any number of things. But it helps to refine what it is you're trying to change, and then what aspects of research and innovation then are needed to help you make that change. I think it's really important, too, to connect with the other parties involved in that innovation. So researchers, government, people involved in getting research into practice. Know where they're coming from. And help them to understand, especially if you can show them, like get them onto a farm, show them where you're at, talk about where you're trying to get to, and they'll also have ideas on how you can get there. I think in agriculture, we need to be more creative. I think we need to have the confidence to have blue sky sessions and throw out crazy ideas. They're crazy, sure, But sometimes the craziest idea turned 10 degrees becomes the best idea in 10 years. So we limit ourselves sometimes on those blue sky sessions. And when you think about that, pretty much everything I just talked about, again, it all comes down to people.
Mm-hmm. Mike, just to kind of follow up on that, are there any flip side things to be wary of? Like, what are the sorts of actions that an organization could do that really squashes or puts down the innovators in their field, that even if it's an unintended consequence of something, but just that organizations like ours and sectors need to be wary of to keep innovators innovating and not, you know, crush them into just stop speaking up and to stop innovating?
Organizations are somewhat like people. They have an image. So when people think about Ontario sheep farmers, what three words come to mind? What three words do you want to come to mind? What do you do that helps those three words come to their mind? If you as an organization are conjuring up words that aren't the nicest, you're going to have a hard time having people even work with you. Like, an organization's reputation and culture and image, it's a necessary step to actually getting people to want to work with you. Another would be paying what I would call lip service to, this is a priority, but we're not going to put any money to it. I mean, things drive because of money. Like, think of our early career research award. There's money there. Okay. So something will happen because there's money there, no matter how small that is. Those are the first things that come to my mind.
Wow. So much there, Mike. Perfect timing too, because we're giving some thought to our strategic plan over the next week. I'm going to use that A to B. Thank you for that. So what's next?
Well, at our symposium, somebody said to me, once you've decompressed, come and we'll have lunch. I thought, decompress? What are you talking about? But I got to say, there's actually kind of an unwinding that I wasn't expecting. So I'm starting to unwind. And Aaron, you know all about this. Well, maybe you won't. I think there's this unconscious mind always going, thinking about what's next and how to do this, and whether that's scheming or planning, I don't know. But so kind of unwind, spend more time with my family, do some travel with my wife. Got four grandchildren, want to see more of. We've got one of our children and his wife are actively trying to get a farm going. So there are always chores I can help with there. And continue fun stuff like old guy hockey and playing bagpipes with the Fergus Pipe Band.
Well, that's amazing. Well, congratulations again. And good luck with everything that you're going to do in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us today, Mike.
And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next Wednesday for our education-themed interview with butcher Brent Harrington.
Hey, Aaron, what's going on at OSF this week?
Thank you to everyone who completed the producer survey this spring. We had 248 responses and they came in from across all districts. We had a nice diversity of ages and flock sizes, so the sample is pretty representative of the OSF membership. The majority of respondents consider sheep production the primary business on the farm or supplemental income, with only 14% of respondents identifying as a hobby farm, attending never, rarely, or less than once a year, and the other half attending annually, quarterly, and more than four times per year. The answer to the question of how well OSF is connecting with our members was also split. 50% of producers felt we were good, very good, or exceptional, while 50% graded our communication fair or poor. We appreciate this feedback and plan to improve this rating in the future. The top three barriers to attending events were listed as no available time, the distance to meetings, and the lack of events in your area. This is also very helpful input, and we will work with our districts to identify different meeting locations to reach more producers. If you'd like to see more results from this study, we will include a summary in the Messenger email and on the OSF website.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe through your podcast app to receive alerts for future episodes, and please consider sharing this podcast with your friends.
For more Ontario Sheep Farmers content, follow us on social media at Ontario Sheep Farmers on Instagram and Facebook, and at Ontario Sheep on X. And visit our website at ontariosheep.org.